Thank you, Todd, and praise team.
There are some really good seats right up here, too, behind me. If anybody wants to take one of those, you're welcome to. Good to be with you this morning as we continue to think about getting outside during this year, 2018. Our theme for our local church this year is to get outside based on Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. And I'll ask you to turn there. And again, appreciate the swing set here behind me. This is called the original PlayStation. So if you like video games, this is where it all started right here. The original PlayStation, getting outside. But, of course, we're getting outside not so much to play, though we can do that as well. But we're getting outside to where those are who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I didn't know he was that sick. That should be "that sick," by the way, on the quote there. I didn't know he was that sick. This past November, a Canadian mother was sentenced to 3 years in prison after failing to take her 7-year-old son to the doctor. He subsequently died from a treatable strep infection. And though I know very few of the details of this case, I can believe that that Canadian mother sincerely thought that her son's medical condition was not as serious as it actually was. She knew that he was sick, and she was concerned about him, but she did not take the needed steps to find out his actual health status. At her trial, she would say, "I can't begin to forgive myself. I hope others learn from my ignorance." The prosecutor in the case said that Tamara Lovett killed her child. That's a terrible thing for her to live with. I don't know what justice is in a case like that. I didn't know he was that sick. I didn't know they were that sick. Today, some of us in this room, maybe many of us in this room, may be liable for failing to recognize the true condition of those who were outside. Those who were outside of the body of Christ. Outside of the body of Christ means to be outside of Christ. I'm going to ask you to look here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4 and verse 5. "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. This morning I would like for us to briefly consider six conditions that are true of those who are outside. Conditions that may not be obvious from seeing them walk down the street past us or mow their lawns in our neighborhood or fulfill their job and relationship obligations or eat in the at the table beside us in the restaurant. But they are conditions that are true according to the Word of God and conditions that should motivate us to walk wisely toward them. And the wisest way that we can walk toward them is to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ with them visually, through the way that we live, and verbally, through our conversations, and through the message that we share. The conditions we're going to look at this morning are conditions that are deduced by contrasting those who were outside with what the Bible tells us about those who are inside. Those who were in Christ. And I hope that that's you this morning. I hope that as you sit here and look at these verses that you're going to be able to rejoice and say, "Praise God. Praise God that I am in Christ and that these things are true of me, rather than the contrasting conditions that we're going to be looking at regarding those who were outside of Christ, those who have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And that may be you. You may find yourself in that position this morning. And if you do, I trust that the Spirit of God will be working in your heart and in your life, because we're going to be talking this morning particularly to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We're going to be talking about true concern for those who are outside. True concern for those who are outside. First of all, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. We're going to be looking at a passage for each of these conditions this morning. And again, we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about those who are inside, those who are in Christ, those who are in the body of Christ through faith in the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, we'll contrast that to deduce what is the condition of those who are not in Christ. So first of all, Romans 8 and verse 1, and here we're going to see that the condition of those who are outside of Christ is that they have no true peace. Notice the beginning of this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, if you are in that position of having been forgiven of your sins through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't have any condemnation to be concerned about from God. And if there is no condemnation on you, then you have true peace with God and true peace from God. Now, by contrast, if there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, what does that mean for those who are not in Christ Jesus, but who are outside of Christ Jesus? Well, it's very obvious that for them, there is condemnation. Romans 5:1 tells us that if we're in Christ, then we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But not true of those who do not know the Lord Jesus, who are not in Christ. Often those who are outside of Christ would probably try to lighten the thought of condemnation and death with some humor. The humorist Woody Allen said, "I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Maybe you can relate to that. In John chapter 3, we read the words of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Listen to what He says in verse 18. "He who believes in Him is not condemned." That's what we've already seen here in Romans 8:1. "But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, all who are not in Christ are under condemnation. The thought of condemnation is the thought of judgment. It's the thought of being pronounced guilty. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that all are guilty. Those who know the law of God and those who don't know the law of God, all are guilty. The Bible also pronounces upon the guilty the sentence that God, who is holy and righteous, has pronounced as the righteous sentence against those who have sinned and are outside of Christ. The wages of sin is death. Not only a physical death, but a spiritual death. A death described in the book of the Revelation as death and hell being cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. The wrath of a holy and righteous God against sinful sinners. Later in John chapter 3, we read these words, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Isaiah recorded these words of the Lord, "There is no peace for the wicked." The world attempts to provide peace. The Lord Jesus made that contrast in John 14, 27. He told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." You see, the world is trying to pronounce a peace upon those who are outside of Christ. They are there, those like the prophets and priests of Jeremiah's day in the Old Testament. In chapter 6 and verse 14 of his prophecy, he said, "They also have healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." I didn't know they were that sick. Now we know. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, we see that another condition of those who are outside of Christ is that they have no true wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, we read, written to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." You who are in Christ Jesus, you have true wisdom. The wisdom from God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who became for us wisdom. And that wisdom is expressed in the fact that he is our righteousness, our position before God of being right. He is our sanctification, that we have been declared pure in the sight of God and set apart for his use. He is our redemption, that we have been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. But those who are outside do not have true wisdom. They may be brilliant. They may have an IQ that adds up to the total of all of the IQs together in this room. But they don't have true wisdom. They might have a great wisdom of the world, and the Bible speaks of the wisdom of the world, even here in this chapter. Paul also refers to that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, speaking of those who are outside of Christ, professing to be wise, they became fools. You see, the wisdom of this world is ultimately the wisdom of Satan. In James 3:15, James says that this wisdom does not descend from above. It's not the wisdom of God, but rather is earthly, sensual, demonic. This is a wisdom. Notice here in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 19. Look at this wisdom. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." You see, the wisdom of the world, the greatest wisdom that the people of this world outside of Christ has, is on a collision course with destruction by God. Notice verse 20. "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" The wisdom of this world has been made foolish by God. I didn't know they were that sick. That they have no true wisdom. That they cannot truly understand the things of God. I didn't realize they were that sick. And now we know. They have no true peace. They're seeking peace. They have no true peace. And they have no true wisdom. continue to the next letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I didn't know they were that sick. God wants us to understand the condition of those who were outside so that we might walk in wisdom toward them, that we might redeem the time, that we might buy up every opportunity that comes our way to represent the Lord Jesus well before those who are outside, those who have no peace, those who have no true wisdom, and those who have no true change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Those who are in Christ, God declares very clearly here that all of us who are in Christ have been made new creations. That we have been brought into a new relationship, a relationship with God. And if we continued to read in this passage, we would read about the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of someone being brought from a place far from God into a place near to God. A relationship with God. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus are in a relationship, a true relationship with God. And that relationship with God has included a change. A change. A change in our position before God. A change in our understanding of God and of His Word. A change in our perspective on the world and on our lives. A change in our perspective on the future. A change in our viewpoint of the eternal. It's also resulted in a change within us. A change in our hearts, which leads to a change in our behavior. A fresh start. If you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, at the moment that you believed on Him, God gave you new desires. You may not have noticed all of them at that moment. Maybe none of them at that moment. But God had placed within you new desires, which I'm sure you have experienced and recognized since then. If not, then maybe you're not a new creation. God gave you new abilities. He gave you a new family, the family of God, a fresh start. But those who were outside, they are not new creations. They are still the old creation. God created all of us. But because we are related to Adam and Eve, the original parents, we have within us a sin nature, and that is our old person. And the person who is outside of Christ, that's all they have. They are stuck in the old. Many times, and we might have experienced it ourselves before we believed on the Lord Jesus as Savior, many try to turn over a new leaf, to stop a destructive habit, to change direction in life. Those who were outside of Christ, if they are honest and objective, they recognize that there is something missing in their lives, but oftentimes they can't put their finger on what it is. There are some who are in, outside of Christ, and they don't want to change their lives. But many of them desire a different outcome to their life. A Chinese philosopher of the 6th century BC said, "If you do not change direction, you may end up where you are heading." So true. But unfortunately, this Chinese philosopher did not know the Lord Jesus, but rather was the originator of a false religion who would say there is another way to have true change in your life. But you know, true change only comes through the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to the Ephesian believers, and he says, "I want your life to match up with the reality of the change that God has done in your position. Your practice needs to be different." He He said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." That is the true condition of those who were outside of Christ. They have no true change, and many of them, more and more it seems, come to the end of themselves and they give up and they take their own lives. Not too many years ago, a mechanic named William had one of our cars. He was kind of what you might call a shade tree mechanic, and he had the car out behind his house and had the gas tank off of the car. And I got a phone call from a friend of his. William took his own life. You know what? I'd spent some time with William. We had ridden all the way to Winston-Salem and picked up a used engine, and I was able to talk with him about the Lord. But, you know, I didn't know he was that sick. If only I had known. If only I had known that he was contemplating taking a rope and going out into the woods near his mother's house and hanging himself. You see, those who are outside of Christ have no true change. They don't all commit suicide, obviously. But there's no true change. I didn't know they were that sick. Now we know. Now we know from the Word of God. Continue to move toward the back of your Bible and go over two more books to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And here we're going to see that those who are outside of Christ, those to whom we're to walk in wisdom, they have no true purpose. No true purpose. Ephesians chapter 2, you know, if you've heard me preach, you know I love verses 8 and 9 particularly. I love these verses, but verse 10 is what we're going to look at, but we'll start at verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Those who are inside, we are God's workmanship. We are God's poem, created new in Christ. And we have been given a purpose in life. We have meaning in our lives. We have the opportunity and the responsibility to live out what God has already prepared before Him, before us, good works that we should walk in them. God has good works for you. He's already prepared them if you know the Lord Jesus. He's laid them out before you, and He's watching to use you to carry out those good works. That gives you a reason to live. No matter how difficult your marriage is, no matter how hard it is to go to work, no matter how sad you are because of what has occurred in your life, no matter what uncertainties lay before you in our world, you have a reason to live. You have purpose in your life. But those who were outside of Christ, they may grab hold of a movement. They may grab hold of a march. They may grab hold of a job or a relationship or a hobby or something to find meaning somehow in their lives. They might even do works. Paul spoke of those works in verse 9 here in Ephesians 2. The works that do not lead to salvation, because salvation is a free gift. Salvation is not something that can be earned by works, but rather that something is something that must be received by faith, because it has already been paid for by the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again. I think back to the book of Ecclesiastes, there to Solomon, that man of great wisdom. And there, what I believe is toward the end of his life, as he looks back and he sees that he has drifted away from the wisdom that God has given him. Listen to what he says in chapter 2 about his own striving for meaning and purpose by works. He said, I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. There's no true purpose outside of Christ. And that's the condition of those who were outside of the Lord Jesus, who were not in Christ. I didn't know they were that sick. And now we know. Now we know. Turn, if you would, to the next book in the New Testament, the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Here is Paul gives his own testimony of before and after. We find here that those who are outside of Christ have no true security. No true security. Notice what Paul says. We'll begin here in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, yet indeed I have also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, notice verse 9, and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Those who are in Christ, those who are found in Christ, we are clothed and we are standing in the righteousness from God by faith in Christ. And let me tell you, that is a sure, solid foundation. That is security before God. That is security. But those who are outside, they don't have any true security. You see, the security that they have before God is false. It may be like Paul's testimony. And if you read earlier in chapter 3, he will go through and he'll explain all that he did to impress God, all that he sought to do to please God and to be accepted by God. But you see, it was all self-righteousness. And the Lord Jesus said to the people of his day, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And if there were any who were self-righteous, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. They had the law down pat from their perspective. They were righteous in themselves. The Lord Jesus describes them in Luke 16:15 as he speaks directly to them. You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. In Romans 10, verse 3, Paul speaks of his Jewish countrymen who were trying to be accepted by God because of their own self-righteousness. He said they were ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness and had not submitted to the righteousness of God. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 7:23 that there's a coming day when there are going to be those who stand before Him and say, "Lord, look at all we've done for You." Self-righteousness. And He's going to say, "Depart from Me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." On what is your standing before God based? Whose righteousness? Is it your own righteousness or the righteousness of Christ? Those who are outside of Christ are standing at best on their own righteousness. On September 6, 1941, a journalist by the name of Clark Beach wrote these words to his readers. "A Japanese attack on Hawaii is regarded as the most unlikely thing in the world, with one chance in a million of being successful. Besides having more powerful defenses than any other post under the American flag, it is protected by distance." Well, all of us know what occurred on December 7th when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, a U.S. naval base near Honolulu, Hawaii. A false sense of security. Little Ryan Lovett thought he could trust his mother. But she said, "I didn't know he was that sick. I didn't know they were that sick." Now we know. Now we know. One final passage in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, two more books into your New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here we find that those who were outside of Christ have no true hope. No true hope. Notice verse, well, I'll tell you what, let's begin our reading with verse 14. Or actually, verse 13, excuse me. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." See, those who were in Christ, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus and have been placed by God into Christ and have that position of being inside, not of our own righteousness, not of our own works, not of anything about us, but rather the work of the Lord Jesus, that we have received Him by faith, by grace, a wonderful gift. We have the confident expectation in a world of uncertainty. We have the certainty that we will rise again. And our loved ones who have died in Christ, that they too, their bodies will rise again and be made new and be reunited with their soul and spirit, which is already in heaven. We are looking forward to that day that maybe we won't even have to die. But the Lord Jesus will come back in our lifetime and we'll be caught up to be with Him. And that is our hope. That is our confident expectation. That death is not the end. We look forward to being with the Lord Jesus. Some of you have seen the movie, I Can Only Imagine, based on the life story of Bart Millard, the lead singer for Mercy Me. And he wrote after his father died, his father had come to Christ and was placed in Christ late in his life after a horrible life. And he wrote that song. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side, speaking of the Lord Jesus. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. When that day comes when I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. We have a wonderful hope, brothers and sisters. But those who were outside, those who were outside of Christ, they're hopeless. And most of them don't even realize it. They're like those on the Titanic after it struck that iceberg and the ship began to take on water, and most of the people had no idea that they were getting ready to die, that they had no hope. And there's so many in our lives who are hopeless. They're like those that Paul spoke of in Ephesians 2 and verse 12. And at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. I didn't know they were that sick. Now we know. Now we know. Can I ask you, as I ask myself, are you truly concerned? Mark Anthony Condit, the 23-year-old who made and planted explosives near Austin, Texas recently, killing two people and injuring others, said in his video that he recorded on his phone that was found after he took his own life, he said, "I wish I were sorry, but I am not." Are we sorry? Do we understand the condition of those who are outside? They have no true peace, no true wisdom, no true change, no true purpose, no true security, no true hope. And that's not the whole list. Do we need to confess to God? In a moment, Brother David's going to play the verse of a song. As he plays, do we need to call out to God for forgiveness, for our lack of true concern, for those who are outside? Do we need to confess? And how will our concern, at whatever level that concern is, how will that concern impact our lives? I just want to give you three one-word questions. Who, how, and when. As we think of those who are outside, who? How is this going to impact your life? Who is God bringing to your mind right now? And will bring to your mind during those moments of silence? How? How can you reach out outside? How can you walk in wisdom toward that person, those people? And when? When are we going to do it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy extended to everyone. But Father, so many that we know, so many that we love, so many that we have no idea anything about them, and yet they are outside of Christ. Father, their condition, Father, we didn't know how sick they were. Father, we know you've told us, Lord, may we take this seriously. Lord, work in my heart. I'm the first one to confess my need for a greater concern for the people around me, the people in this world that you love. As we sang earlier, may my heart be broken by the things that break your heart. Father, we pray that we will get outside, that we will buy up every opportunity Father, thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus. And we pray for any here this morning that have never believed on the Lord Jesus. May they see clearly by your Holy Spirit from your word their own condition. May they cry out for forgiveness right now based on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you in the name that's above every name. The one who came and gave his life. That we might have peace and wisdom and change and purpose and security and hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.